This is the Friday, July 15th, 2016 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Dan Huber. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
We've got a number of questions sent in, and I want to start with this one. It's from Brock in Baxter, Iowa, and he touches on an issue you brought up a little bit on the show. With trendline yields in corn and beans and a big wheat crop, how negatively does that affect the grains?
You know, and again, assuming trendline yields are there, it keeps a weight on top of prices. I do tend to want to believe that, you know, corn and wheat, especially, who are relatively close to the lows that we have posted this year, realistically the lowest or comparable lowest levels we've been since 2009. This is where we seem to find value. So, yes, yields could become so burdensome that, you know, we have to go lower just to kind of clean the deck. But I really think we're already at a point where we're finding buyers. We're finding enough interest. Farmers have been very reluctant sellers and been in a financial position they didn't have to be forced into selling anything. So, if the yields are trend line or higher, you know, psychologically it certainly works against the market. But I think there's the major element. And I'm one that would already argue that with the acreage that we have out there this year, where we saw the changes around the country, where did we see increases in corn versus beans? You know, these yields are very optimistic. You know, 168 bushel of the acre is still the third largest yield ever. 46.7 bushel of the acre is the second or third largest ever. And it might be tough to defend those yields. And, I mean, realistically, a one bushel change in beans changes the picture dramatically. A two bushel change in corn or three bushel change in corn, which is still 165 bushel, that would still be the fourth highest record yield on record. And, you know, we changed from a 350 corn to a $4 corn that quickly.
Right. So, we'd cut from two. Where did USDA peg the carry out?
Just a little over 2 billion bushels. Okay. You know, with the increases in usage, we got over 2 billion. And interestingly enough, for probably 4 years now, we've had various reports all predicting we're finally going to get above 2 million bushels. And at the end of the day, we never have. And it would be interesting this year, particularly seeing how we seem to have a slow but sure rebound in corn demand. Will we really be above 2 billion bushels? So it's, you know, granted, we know the jury's out there, but I'm kind of in the camp that says I don't think that's really going to happen.
Okay, because demand has been impressive on the soybean and on the corn side. Where do you see our best potential for demand increases come from here in the next year on corn and beans?
You know, I think the biggest surprise may be corn, because that's really just beginning to evolve. And we mentioned earlier in the program that, you know, here just in the last 2 months, China has imported over 1 million tons of corn each month, which is a record. Granted, it's coming from various sources, but, you know, it's coming back. It's coming partially from the U.S., and we have been locked out of that Chinese corn market for a number of years. So, I mean, there's a change that we need to kind of readjust to. And, you know, with their economy chugging along, their livestock, particularly hog herd, is on the rebound. You know, that demand could be far more substantial than is really estimated. Really, same thing applies to the soybean market. I mean, the people from our commercial trade have maintained all year long, be careful with the bean market, particularly looking out into 2017, because they think the demand is going to be just absolutely phenomenal.
So. Really? So are you, as a spec play, getting long September 17 beans at all?
You know, not at this point in time. Okay. I mean, we've still advanced quite a bit. And in fact, I mean, I'm of the camp that believes we could put in one more shot up on the soybeans this year. But chances are we'll drag back down as we, you know, kind of assess things out and maybe stop a little bit of that buying. Okay. But ultimately, yes, I think between now and fall, if we see a nice correction there, then absolutely I want to be long. I think I want to be long commodities in general moving into 2017. So, in fact, Citigroup came out this week, said the same thing.
Huh.
So it's they think, you know, the play led by crude. I mean, they're still big. And granted, you look at any commodity index, crude has got a very heavy weighting in that. I mean, those two markets, if you applied a Goldman Sachs index chart with crude oil, you would think you're looking at the same chart if you took the prices off. I mean, it's a big, heavy influence there. But I, looking into 17 and beyond, I'm quite positive on commodities yet.
So. Okay. Well, while we're still dealing with 2016, we've got a question from Marty in Buxton, North Dakota. Mm-hmm. Marty wants to know, other than too much rain, is this a wheat feeding year?
Well, I think it has to be. I mean, granted, we're going to get the ratio between corn and wheat where it just has to be competitive to feed wheat if you're in an area particularly where you have to, where you're producing the wheat. I haven't had an opportunity to speak to my brothers, who, of course, work pretty actively in the hog industry. But I'm sure with the availability of new crop wheat on now, they'll be reformulating the rations to put a little heavier in the wheat in there to make that work.
Make it work. And then finally, Brian in Arlington Heights, Illinois, is asking, and it's a very broad question.
Sure.
Brian is saying, what about this week's collapse, or one thing at a time? As we look at this week's collapse, what do you think?
You know, I tend to look at this week and say it's really a collapse from anticipated excitement because of weather. You know, we pushed up, of course, late Wednesday and into Thursday, thinking this heat dome was going to build in. And then when we broke by the close yesterday, and, of course, some follow-through here today, all we really did is put prices back into trading realms or trading ranges we've been in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Now, granted, weather markets are, in fact, in my commentary this morning wrote, I mean, they're the absolute worst. I mean, because they're just flip-a-coin propositions. And, you know, we tend to kind of lose sight of the big picture because we're so focused on, is it going to rain today or tomorrow? But that's just the challenge. We could come back Monday morning, and if that heat is back into the forecast, you know, all the pressure of yesterday and today is forgotten.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. I believe that GFS forecast updates every 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So every 6 hours, we're crunching a new set of numbers.
Oh, absolutely.
And the computers are buying or selling, and so
correct,
are producers.
Correct.
So how does a producer, if I'm sitting there, if I'm a dime short of break even, and I want to put some hedges in place, how do I handle a volatile weather market?
You know, of course, the bigger challenge is I'm a dime short of break even, you know. So, you know, number one, I guess I would say on that, hopefully your crop insurance is kind of giving you that foundation to where you don't need to panic. I mean, and we're not that far off of those levels on the corn market, particularly we are on the beans. But I think that's just it. And I think when we really try to work with clients on putting together marketing programs, you know, we try to take that focus off of, I need to have $5 corn, I need to have $11 beans. What you need to have is a return on investment. You know, we need to look for respectable, consistent returns on investment, and then find the price that we need to get to make that work. And if you don't, it's easy to lose sight of that, particularly in exciting weather markets. But you don't make, once you've made a plan, once you have initiated targets for returns on investment, well, you better have an awfully good reason to change your mind, because the name of the game is consistency of profitability, and ultimately that's what's going to keep you in business.
Keep you in business through 2017.
There you go.
Which could be a fun year.
Exactly.
All right. Now, Dan, before we let you go, sure. We have been asking each of our analysts every week to define terms that get thrown around quite a bit.
Certainly.
When discussing the futures markets. And so yours, what's a long position? What does that mean?
You know, long position, of course, is any position that would profit from markets moving higher. So, you know, granted, somebody who is a farmer is in a long position every morning he wakes up, or even when he goes to sleep. I mean, you're in a long position the moment you put that crop in the ground, because you are at price risk. And if prices go higher, your holdings or your potential production becomes worth more. You know, most commonly we think of a long position in the futures market, that is a purchase of a futures contract or the purchase of a call option, which gives you the right to have a long or a purchased contract in the futures. So it's basically you're just trying to profit from up moves in the marketplace.
Is the sale of a put also a long position?
The sale of a put is a means to try to profit from a market moving higher. It's not long in the respect that you cannot convert that into a long position. All you're ever going to do is receive the money that from the person who purchased it if the prices go higher.
Okay. Well, Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
And before we go, we'd like to remind you about a web-only sale of market-to-market gear. If you are already on our website, go to the story about Everything Must Go. Inside, you'll find a link to iptv.org/warehouse sale. Once you click through, you'll find a list of one-of-a-kind mugs, die-cast tractors, and Carhartt jackets, many adorned with the vintage market-to-market logo. Or, if you're interested in new gear, you can follow the links to show your support for the program that brings you news and market analysis you trust. Your contribution for any of these items keeps this program going. Remember, the list is short, and once they're gone, they're gone. So go get long some market-to-market gear. Thanks for watching, and have a great week.